Dave!
Keeping the faith.
All right, now.
Freedom group!
Yeah, my best coming out. My name is Andrew. Thank God, man, for this process of recovery. I want to thank the program committee for inviting me to come here. I was under the impression, right, because listen, man, I was just minding my business, right, and I got this call, and they said that I was going to share on finding a balance in life and keeping the faith, right, but more was just revealed right now, so I'm going to go anywhere God takes me. That's just where I'm going to go. You know what I mean? I'm forever grateful for this process of recovery. You know, I got this room right here. I got half St. Baltimore. I got the other half St. New York. I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm going to get to that. You know, listen, man, I don't even know which branch of recovery. Listen, I'm just going to go. Listen, if you're new, welcome to the 12-Step Church Tradition Program of Narcotics Anonymous. If you're coming back from a relapse, welcome. And if you're here, and if you're high, man, just welcome, man. Welcome, man. We all understand what it is to be broken, man. Lonely, man. We all understand that. You know, for the Northeast Freedom Area of Narcotics Anonymous, my home group is the Freedom Group. And if you want to come, listen, man, you come to my home group, it's guaranteed that you're going to get a good cup of coffee and a good message because I'm the speaker seeker. Believe it. You know what I'm saying? But that's not, there's a story behind that, man. This convention is significant to me, and that's the reason for that. And I want to thank the CPR, I ain't going to forget that part because I'm Puerto Rican, CPR, ACNA for the invite, man. And you're talking about, finding balance in life, man, and keeping the faith, right? I didn't have that at one time in my life. My life was so dark at one time. There wasn't a such thing as no type of balance in my life. I'm talking about when we talk about the balance in this process, and we talk about seeking the balance in recovery, and then we turn around, we talk about finding the faith. Well, this is a threefold disease, man. It's mentally, spiritually, and physically a disease that attacks your emotional balance in all kinds of areas in your life, man, right? We were just on our way over here. We lost track of time, right? We ended up going to Walmart to get some snacks and some water and stuff like that. So listen, I asked Cindy, I said, listen, how close or how far are we, right? She said, we're on the hour away. I said, all right, so we go in the store and whatnot. And our way out the store, right? She goes, oh shit, we're losing time. I'm just going to have to drop you off in the front and you're just going to have to find a room and do what you got to do, right? So on our way over here, right? I'm sitting down, right? She tells me, how you feeling? I said, well, I'm staying balanced, man. I'm staying balanced. And I'm keeping the faith, man. You know what? I'm staying still with myself. You know, because I'm an extremist. Is it this way or that way, man? Let me just give you a little overview about myself, man. You know, there was a time for a very long time, man. Like, I dreamed. I was the type of person, man, that every New Year's resolution, man, I wanted to stay clean, man. I wanted to stay clean for such a long time, man. I always dreamed of staying clean. I used to always say my New Year's resolution is I ain't going to get high. I ain't gonna use, but I'm gonna get fucked up right now because come to New Year's Eve, I just ain't gonna do this no more. And yo, I dreamed that for a long time. But listen, that is real heavy. Like when you're not diagnosed with the disease of addiction and you be wondering, like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, why I just can't stay clean, man? It used to last no more than a week. Why, man? Why did I have to get fucked up, jacked up right before I went to a detox, especially on my birthday, stuff like that? You know, something was wrong with my life. Something wasn't right. It had to be more than just the use of drugs, man. You know, I was so broken that I always picked the broken one, man. I always did stuff like that. Listen, man, I was in a relationship for 9 years, man. Listen, we both used. And we both got high. We both used. Whatever money I made, I shared with her. Whatever she made, I'm not too sure she shared with me. But I know that I shared with her. And we both got down. Listen, man, we both... You talk about shit. We both knew where all the soup kitchens was at. We had a list of them. But one thing, man, we was raising 3 boys, man. We was raising some kids. And I'm going to tell you something, man. The refrigerator was always empty, man. And one thing about the refrigerator when it's empty, that light is bright, man. That shit is so bright, man. For real. Some real shit, man. Listen, and when it's dead, when the refrigerator is dead, it's because there's food in there. You know, I'm a type of person, man, I've been in recovery for 19 years and seven months. And listen, man, once we do grocery, my ass don't want to go to no meeting. I just want to stay home and open up that refrigerator like 10 times. For real. Like something is going somewhere. It's only me and my lady living together. You know what I mean? Just be caught up like that, for real, man. And that, yo, listen, that's something because of my record, because of my back. Listen, in this relationship, I stood there, and at the end of the ruin, that relationship, like, I heard of the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. It was in 1990, and I got incarcerated for a crime that I didn't commit. This one here, I didn't commit. I was just there. They had a plan, and when I was there, we got busted. And once we got busted, I didn't have no kids at the time, right? My boys, they said, yo, take the way because my kids, my daughter, stuff like that. The story changed. You know what I mean? So this is what happened. I want to thank you guys, your members, man, of H&I, man. Thank you so much, man, for real. You know, like, I wanted to get out the environment where I was at in Rikers Island. I just wanted to get out of there. And when I went there, listen, there was these guys there. They was glowing. And they had some clean sneakers on their feet. And I didn't understand nothing they said. All they said was Narcotics Anonymous. And they said that that you can change your life, man, that that's a better way. So when I came out of jail, right, I went, you know, I seen a friend of mine, and he was the one that took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and that was in 138th Street, San Anselmo, in the South Bronx, man. This was a meeting, man, that there was rats there. I'm talking about rats. Listen, I think the rats was coming too, because there was just rats in there, man. Those rats was just in there, man. So when I went in there, it's something like when the seed is planted, right? It's a whole different thing, like when you go to a meeting. Because when I went to a meeting, listen, ego and image robbed me from my own identity. It never let me know who I was for a very long time. I'm talking about that if I would have committed suicide, it was really homicide. Because I didn't really know myself when I came in here. So when I went there, right, so people was just hugging themselves. Oh, y'all was all lovey-dovey, just hugging each other. I was like, I just couldn't stay. So what happened to me, and I was trying, listen, I was trying to get my girlfriend to come to those meetings too. But she just didn't want to go. So this is what happened. I spiritually masturbated myself by coming in and out of rooms. Like, I just couldn't stay. Like, there was people that were staying, but I wasn't able to stay, man. And then I was wondering, is something wrong with me, man, that they just coming in here and they just staying, and I just couldn't stay, man. You know, there were some people, not the people in Narcotics Anonymous, but some people that I knew from the streets, man, they used to tell me, yo, you got to let her go, man. You just got to let her go. That's the older people. That just ain't going to work, man. And I kept going in and out. And at the end, man, listen, man, in September 5th of 1997, I went to 161st Street, not too far from the Supreme Courtroom in the Bronx, man. I went to a supermarket to steal some catfish. Shit, $2 for $10, man. I didn't need to get straight, man. So on my way out that supermarket, these guys came and they, listen, man, this kid, they beat the shit out of me, man. They grabbed me, they just beat me up in a way that I just couldn't believe that I got beat up. And what happened was, I don't know about here, I don't know about DC, I don't know about Maryland, but I can tell that out there in New York, they give you double portion and you can gain your weight up. In 1 week, you can gain your weight up, right? But what happened, in this case, I got my weight up in 1 week, but I went straight into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't never looked back. That was in September 6th of 1997, man. I'm talking about from a rude awakening to a spiritually ass whipping that I caught. You know, and I never looked back, right? And they just kept making meetings, man. I was so excited that for the first time, I was able to pick up some key tags, something that I really, really, really earned, man. You know what I mean? Something that I earned. But this was what's going back home, man. She was still getting high in the house. She was getting high in the living room with her friends, and I was coming in, and she was accusing me of cheating. She said, you can't possibly be making all those meetings, and I was making all those meetings. I was doing what I had to do. But I experienced, right, I had experience doing some steps, because I had to do something different. I had to get responsible, man, and I had to get busy. And I experienced doing some step work in the room, and her and her friends getting high in the living room. You know, and I stood there. I don't recommend that to anybody. That's just my experience. Right. But I stood there for 2.5 years because I felt, man, right? Everything that I felt ain't facts, man. But I felt like, you know, like I didn't want to be no coward, nothing like that. I just didn't want to cut out. But I came into this decision, man, that I said, listen, But I let go and get dragged, man. At that time, I was like in the 10th, 11th step, and I had to just remove myself. And that's exactly what I did. What I did, I removed myself, and I had to break out of there. And what I did was, man, I moved to my sister's house. And from my sister's house, I stood there for a while, sleeping on her couch. And I had to end up getting me a job, man. Some of y'all people was talking about, you know, get a resume. Do you have a resume? And I was saying, what the hell is a resume? What is that? Because you know something? Like, listen, man, I take my hat off to you guys, man. I come here with degrees. Y'all amazed the shit out of me. Like, how did you have time to do that? Like, it amazes me because the people that I did that, none of us did that. We just ran straight. We just ripped. I wish I was able to do that. But all we did was rip and ran. So when y'all asked me to get a resume, I didn't know what that was. And y'all explained to me what was a resume. And y'all know what y'all did for me? Y'all hooked me up. Y'all hooked up a resume for me. Some places where I had never been in my life, right? And I was never. Never. Y'all ain't asked questions. Listen, if you don't ask me, I ain't going to answer you. That's it. And, So what happened was, right, when I was going to the bank, right, you know, some small things to some people, some big stuff to the next person. Because we all recover from different levels of recovery. Listen, there was people in front of me in the bank, right? For real. This cashier, this little Tatum's telling them, do you need an envelope? She asked everybody if they needed an envelope. So I'm saying, damn, when I got to the front, she ain't asked me if I needed an envelope. Said I had enough money to bend it to put it to an envelope, right? So my goal in life was to go into the bank, not to rob them when they're right there, but for them to offer me an envelope. Now, I remember when I went to the bank and the lady said, do you need an envelope? I said, yes, I need an envelope. Yeah, man. Baby, I put it in my back pocket. Left out the bank skipping, man. So I lived in my sister's house and I stood still. And I stood still for a little while. I went to a meeting. There she was. I kept coming because in New York, with the secretary reporter, come up and we needed a hug you, stuff like that, the surrender chip. So what happened was, man, she was there. And I kept going to the room. I kept hugging her. We was in the same support group. Because one thing that I always did, see, my lady said, she know everything. Hey, when I want to get with you, listen, there's two things. I don't know how to date. I don't know how to do that shit. We had sex whenever you mind. Yes, it's the truth. I don't know nothing about that. Y'all act like y'all know something about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. We been together, have sex, you might be having that shit. That's it. I don't know, man. I get caught. Listen, man, it's just the truth. So what with her was, we was all in the same support group, and I didn't want to fall into that brother zone shit. You like my brother? I didn't want that. So I knew how to play my distance. So what happened was, man, this relationship lasted for like 14, maybe 15 years, right? And we're talking about in the fifth page, man, in the Just for Today talks about recovery starts at home, right? Just because a person is a provider and does for the family, what is the difference? Talk about what is the difference if you're not there emotionally and you're busy chasing Narcotics Anonymous and chasing all the commitments. Chasing all the commitment is a God call. No, all the calls is not a God call. There's responsibilities. And yeah, I was NA down, man. Like you understand because you're in recovery like me. So you know what it is. And that's what it was, man. Like I was, I'm talking about not being somewhere, not having that type of emotional balance. Like just not being there, man. And I thought that everything was all good because I was paying the rent, and when I got there, the reason that I said, listen, I'll pay the rent, I'll take care of that. The reason was because if something was to happen, I wanted to already be used to paying rent, because I wasn't paying rent like that one time. And besides, man, the rent wasn't that much. It was $450. It was $450 because she was on Section 8, so I was able to pay the rent. I was able to take care of that. So listen, that's what I did. So this is what happened, right? I went to a meeting on the Monday, right? It was called Underground Miracle. They asked me to share in the 12 steps, so I broke out. I shared in the 12 step, and when I got home, she goes like this. She goes, I got to talk to you. You know the feelings, right, fellas? Yeah, I got to talk to you. I said, yeah, talk to me. She said, yeah. She goes, I need space. I said, space? What's up, my God? I said, what is space? She said, you know, I just need space. So I said, all right, I guess you sleep in the bedroom, I sleep in the limo. I mean, we can't hang out together, go to the same meetings, or go grocery shopping. We just, because I don't know what that is. I'm for real. I know what it is. I don't want to deal with you. It's always crazy. I said, I saw. But I didn't know what that was. And then she turned around and said, she goes, I ain't happy no more. And then I asked a question. I said, never ask the question if you ain't ready for the answer. But instantly, is it true? Thank God she didn't answer the question if it was. I said, is it somebody else? She said, nah. I said, all right. She said, I said, you got to go. I said, listen, you got to go in 2 weeks. I said, you know, I ain't got nowhere to go, but I'll leave. Listen, I'll leave in 1 week. I'll break out in 1 week. Because I'm the type of person, listen, I'm in the leash, or if I'm not in the leash, up to this day, man, if I'm not welcome somewhere, I'll leave, man. My character means a lot to me, man. It took so many years, so long to develop my character, man. I'm talking about people trying to associate you with the person you was a year ago. They need an upgrade to find out who you really are today. You know what I mean? It's just the truth. This is a growing process, man. So what happened was, man, I said, all right, so when I left, right, it was in February. It was the coldest day, man. It was cold, man. So I did what most of us do, grab some black bags. And I started packing up my clothes. It was income tax season. There was some dudes in the hallway downstairs. And I was going downstairs with my bag of clothes, holding it. They said, what's going on? I said, yo, this is donation, man. I got to donate this clothes because I just didn't want them to know what was going on with me at home. So I had my box of sneakers and stuff like that. And I had to get all that stuff out of there. And I ended up moving to a furnished room. And I was broken. And I was hurting. And I was in a lot of pain. I just couldn't understand what the hell did I do. You know, I just couldn't, man, because that's one thing, man, denial ain't no joke, man. Sometimes you could be in something and not even realize that you in something up to when you get out of it. You go, oh, shit, I ain't even know I was caught up like that. Because the disease of addiction got away. Listen, man, the disease of addiction got away. It blinds you, and listen, and it takes your consequences thinking away. It just takes it away, man. So what happened was I moved into this furnace room. It wasn't up to this man downstairs in the kitchen said, he said like this, man. He said, oh, Angel, oh, I didn't know you was home. And I was like, whoa, man, I'm really living it like this, man. You know, and I stood still. I didn't have no TV in there, and I stood still. I started getting with God. I started doing a lot of praying. I started doing a lot of meditation. Praying hard. I'm talking about praying and weeping and staying through myself and making some meeting and getting with my sponsor and double up on my meeting and double up on my faith and double up on God and doing all the things that I had to just stay still and go to the gym. And listen, I did everything that I had to do, not to only rob the mind, but to nurture. Listen, I'm talking about I was so off balance emotionally, man, that I had to get it together with myself. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about using somebody else or nothing like that. I'm talking about standing still with myself. I had to stay still with myself, man. I had to. Because listen, man, you could be here with some clean time and your ass could suffocate in your clean time, man, because you won't even let nobody know what's going on with you. Like I was suffering in silence for such a long time, man. And so I stood there. And this convention is significant for me. I'm going to let y'all know why, right? I ain't come to this convention like in 10 years, man. I've been coming for the last 3 years. I'm about to let y'all know why. So I came in here. I came out to this convention about 2 years ago. And y'all just came in just to hang out. Y'all was playing some old school. Because I'm from the Boogie Down Bronx. I'm from the Bronx. Born and raised there, been there all my life, my entire life. Y'all was playing some old school, because that's the difference between rapping. Y'all was playing some old school music. So I went out there, and I was just checking out the crowd. It was really nice. And there she was, man. There she was, man. And I looked at her, and I elbowed my friend. So y'all be back. So I went up to her, and I pulled her elbow, right? And when I pulled her elbow, I told her something familiar to new true friends. Because when she looked at me, she tried to look at me and try to, you know how somebody look at you and try to register, see if you know the person. But I knew that she didn't know me. So I told her something. I said, listen, this guy said hi, which was bullshit. I was just telling her something. I was just telling her something she was familiar with. So we started talking and stuff like that. And I was involved in the long distance relationship from the Bronx to Baltimore, right? So my friends through Facebook, right? They were saying, Angel, man, what's going on in Baltimore, man? You like burning up 95 South, man. You burning that shit up, man. What's going on? The convention speaker down said, nah, man. So we started posting pictures and stuff like that. And they started saying, yo, she got you, right? I said, yeah, you motherfucking right. They said, yo, nigga, you're falling in love. Fucking right, yo. I'm out of here. So what happened was, listen, man, I kept going in and out. And Baltimore, I mean, it ain't so diverse to me. It really ain't, because I come from New York. It's so different. So I kept coming, and I kept going to meetings and stuff like that, and it was so, like, different. It's either, I stay neutral, because it's a black and white, so I'm neutral. I'm walking straight. I'm keeping the balance, boy. Yo, I'm right in between, boy. Poppy ain't trying to get in no shit here. Yo, so my lady tells me, she goes, you know, I'm in this area over here. She goes, you know, the meetings are white. I said, once I get in there, it's diverse, because I'm there. If I step in there, it's diverse, baby. I'm there. You know what I mean? So I started making these meetings. But one of the first things that I said, you know what I'm saying, man, I asked her this, and I was real serious about this. I said, yo, what is your relationship with God? And she says, no man ever asked me that. And my response to her was, well, I'm asking you because I want to know. That's important to me. You know what I mean? So it is important. And I came to find out it was the truth. She, whatever she said about her faith, it was the truth. It was the same belief and stuff like that. So I asked her for a clean date, right? I asked her about a clean date. It's a clean date. Boom, mine's in September 69. Said, what is yours? November 24, 97, 2 months apart. I said, all right. So we kept going back and forth. She kept coming back and forth, lost her relationship. So what happened was, she introduced me to her father. Like, we went to this free concert, and when I went there, she said, my pops is here. And my heart started beating. So what happened was, when I went to her father, I went out to shake his hand, and this man just gave me a hug, man. This blew me away just like that, right? So then she started asking me questions, like, because we did something different, man. She asked me, like, have you ever been to a haunted house? Yeah. Right? She asked me that. I said, yo, the only haunted house that I've been in the abandoned building in the Bronx back in the day. I ain't never did that shit before, man. You know what I mean? Some of them you catch a candle, some of them don't have stairs, and that's how we get spooked out. I ain't never been to a haunted house. She goes, shit. So I'm taking you to a haunted house. Listen, man, I ended up going to the haunted house. You talking about little kid with from my son play? We went to the haunted house. And then she turned around, so she was excited. She turned around and asked me, have you ever been snow tubing? I said, what is the snow tubing? She said, when you get in the tube, it's so self-explanatory, but I still have questions to make sure. She goes, yeah. She said, you just slide down with the tube down the snow. I said, we did that in the rocks with cardboards in the Bronx with his kids. Yeah. We just did this different, but we did it, though. But I'm willing to try, man. Listen, I ain't no tough guy. Listen, I ain't no tough dude, man. I'm as soft as this can be, man. My walls are down. I am a sensitive man, yo. I got feelings, man. Ego and image doesn't rob me from my own identity. I let a person know how I really feel, man. And not worry about them judging me. Just don't get my ass nervous and make me start stuttering because it's a different story. Yeah, that's what it was at that time. But I didn't know all those things about myself. I started learning those stuff when I came in here and when I started doing some step work, man. You know something, man? Step work, man, that is something, man, that, shit, y'all can call it whatever y'all want to call it. I call that life insurance, man. That is life insurance, man. That has saved my life, man. Listen, man, step 2, 4, 6, 7, 10, and 11 have allowed me to develop a relationship with the God of my very own understanding that had graced my life in a way that I would never have believed in my life. Never, man. Like, I never would believe that I would be living the life that I am living today, man. You talking about faith, man. Listen, when I moved up here, y'all left 2 jobs, man. You talking about having a balance. When I met her, I had 2 jobs. When I was caught up in the vicious cycle, man, of fear by holding 2 jobs. I'm talking about working 8. We only have 168 hours in the week. I was working 80 of them shits, man. And I was working 2 full-time jobs and stuff like that. And I didn't know that I was trapped. I didn't know that I was trapped like that until she said to me, because it only takes, ultimate weapon is not a recovering addict, man. And she saved my life. And she said, you're going to have to cut. You have to cut one of those jobs out. Do you make meetings? She started questioning me. Do you have a home group? You know what I mean? I ain't handling all that stuff, man. You know what I mean? So when I moved out here, because there's something when you say you're going to do something, but when that time of moment comes that is really happening, that you're really leaving two jobs, that you're really leaving your comfort zone, that, listen, man, my birth certificate says Bronx, New York. I was born and raised there. Like my whole, talk about my whole support group. I talk about my family in the project. I talk about everything. I mean, everything. Not even a job lined. Listen, I didn't even have a job lined up. You talk about leap of faith. I didn't even have that. I just left, man. Listen, I got that type of strong faith from God, man, the God that I serve, man. And you know something? When I tap the name into it, it's most powerful, but this ain't the place for me to do it. I'm telling you, man, through God's grace and His mercy, man, I came up here and I said, listen, man, there's one thing I ain't gonna worry about it. I'm gonna find a job no matter what it is, because I speak Spanish, I speak English, I speak bullshit, and I'm gonna get a job somewhere. Somebody's gonna hire me somewhere, man. Somebody's gonna hire me. Because you know what, for a long, listen, I learned how to ask questions here. Because listen, that's one thing about me, right, that I just don't do no more. When I don't know something, I say, listen, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you mean. But so long I practice, like, you would think I know, because I go right along with it. That stuff got me by with some jobs and stuff like that. 6 weeks later, man, I came here. Listen, 6 weeks later, I was blessed with a job, right? I was blessed with something that I ain't never, she ain't never done a forklift, man, like that. I didn't even have a driver's license when I came to Baltimore. I ain't had none of that. I'm talking about, I mean, these guys, man, like, yo, it was beyond what I expected. I didn't know how to, I can't drive, nothing. So I started working at this place. These people trained me, man. I'm talking about people placing people in your life and putting them in precision and stuff like that. And I started working at this place, working from 6 o'clock to 2:45 from Monday to Friday. Benefits, I said, I'm in. You know, and I was doing real good at the job until I hit a pipe sprinkler, man, at that job. And I created a big, giant flood, right? And everybody was running out that place. And I was just stuck. I was just amazed at the big damage that I caused. I was just standing still like that. I was like, wow, look at this. And then the director turned the corner. When he turned the corner, he goes, hey, who did this? I said, yeah, I did. I did that, and it was an accident. You know something? I believe that I'm still working at that job because he probably couldn't understand that level of honesty, man. But, man, but I still, you know, I stood in that job, man, like, and you know something, man, like, it's only through God's grace, man, like I'm living the life that I always wanted to live. I live in a happy, joyous, and free life. Of course, it's always going to be expected some bumps in the road, because the bumps in the road is an opportunity for growth when those things happen. You know, when I come out the house, shit, I come from the Bronx, living in the suburbs, I wouldn't even expect that. Talking about when I call, sometimes there's ducks there, man. I try to feed the ducks bread to keep them, and they won't stay. I talk about sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning, they're coming out, there'd be some red fox going by, man. I ain't used to none of that stuff. You know, but I'm forever grateful, man, for the type of balance that I have developed. I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking about spiritually, I'm talking about keeping the faith in the God of my understanding, I'm talking about transition to a man that I always be, I'm talking about being the man that I was jealous of at one time. I'm talking about living the life with dignity. I'm talking about being secure. I'm talking about having a relationship with myself. And last but not least, I'm talking about when I be looking at myself in the mirror and the lady's laying in the bed and she's wondering why I keep looking at myself in the mirror. And I say, I look good. I like the way I look. I say, I love you so much. I ain't trying to lose myself. So I say, yo, you look good. But now, folks, listen, man. I just want to thank y'all, man. Listen. You said I got 5 minutes, man. Listen, I just want to thank y'all. I just want to thank y'all for saving my life, man. Because you know something? I'm on the spec of this process. Thank you. God bless.